So we have a special treat today. Brother Randy is going to teach us today, so we're excited about that. Everybody give him a hand. Yeah, so this is going to be exciting. So we'll go ahead and just get started with the prayer, and he's going to lead us into a great time of Bible study. Mm. So, all right. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the fellowship of the brethren here. We pray for this time that your Holy Spirit anoints this time. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, for your precious word that we come to you with expectant ears to hear and open hearts. Father, we pray for Brother Randy that you speak through him. And just thank you, Father, for the calming spirit that you have over this whole room and in our Brother Randy. And just thank you, Father, for being with him and giving him the strength to pronounce the word that you gave him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Love you,
thank
brother.
You. Love you
okay.
too, brother.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just want to start off by first saying, and I know that I'm saying this in behalf of everybody, man, I so much appreciate this class, Zach, and I know that we all do. And this class, though Joan and I have recently just been coming, I've been going to your class online at YouTube. And tell everybody, right? We want to tell everybody about the teaching and the blessing that Zach bestows upon us. But I do also know this. I know that not only are we blessed because we're coming to this class, we're hearing from God, but I also know that Zach, you are blessed, and you're blessed because you're spending time with the Lord, and you're getting blessed at knowing, you know, deeply his word. You are blessed because of this class. And so isn't that the way it works? And isn't that the way that the body of Christ is supposed to be designed, right? Because he's given us all a gift. Yep. And so it is important that if he's given us a gift, how are we using that gift? In other words, when we are using that gift, just as Zach is getting blessed as he seeks the Lord, seeks his word, and we are receiving that blessing. We, as a body, because the church is made up of many parts, and we are those parts, we are being blessed when we are challenged to use that. Now, speaking of parts, I'm doing my part today.
Yeah.
And so I got to tell you guys, months ago, God challenged me into, you know, start seeking a little, not that I sought this, but to be able to speak in front of people, because even though it may look like I'm calm, cool, and collected up here, inside I'm like, ooh, and it may be, you know, it may be because of, you know, past experiences that I've had in speech class in high school, you know, it may be fear, right? Fear of freezing up, fear of saying something right. There's just that unknown when you're asked to come forward to do something like this. And so, you know, God has given me a couple opportunities in a smaller setting. I have zero problem I teach Sunday school, and I love teaching Sunday school. I love teaching those kids. I have zero problem with that. I have zero problem with talking to, you know, a group of five. But when I get into this class and you know, it's a little bit of nervousness that comes through. But I want to tell you this, that when God calls you to do something, it's going to be something that's going to stretch you. It's going to challenge you. And just my lesson today for my kids was out of Joshua, and it was saying to be strong and courageous. When God is calling you into a land of unknown, a land that you're not comfortable with, he's asking, he says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He is faithful. He will be with you. And so to be strong and courageous, and that's actually what I'm doing. And I'm doing it with him. So, with that being said, when Zach called me about a month ago, I'm like, oh my gosh. He goes, I'm not going to be available to teach that week. Can you teach it? I'm thinking, oh man, there's got to be a way I could get. But God said, yes, okay. And, you know, and I know that you guys maybe have felt that feeling, or you, and maybe you haven't. Maybe you're about to experience that same feeling right now. So, you know, the gospel can actually be presented in 30 seconds or less. And see, Jesus is the Son of God, and he came from heaven. And he came from heaven to make our Father known. Not only did he come from heaven to make our Father God in heaven known, but he came to provide a sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. He was buried for 3 days. On the third day, he rose again. He conquered death and gave us the power over sin. And if we choose to accept and believe that, we become a child of God, full with vibrant life with him and life eternal. It's pretty easy. I mean, it's 30 seconds or less, right? Yeah. All right. So on your paper, you have, there's just some, I just scribbled down some ways. So what are some ways that you heard, maybe in your group or whatever, maybe God is sparking something up in you now that you can work on your presentation of the gospel? Okay, what are some ways? Write that down. Would you guys not agree with me that we're in a desperate world today? I mean, there are all kinds of things happening in the world, and it's not just the physical world, but also the spiritual world. And we're getting attacked. You know, we're getting attacked. Whether it's addictions or identity. Or abuse, or whatever it is, that we are getting attacked. And it is getting worse. The world is not getting better today. And so I love this, and you have this verse down in your sheet there, and it's this, and it's Romans 10, 14 through 15. It says this: how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's you and me. When we invited Christ into our life, in Colossians 1:27, it says this. It says that we have the hope of glory. That is what's inside of us. And so we have life's answers. We have the truth. We have the answer for eternity. That's what we carry. I'll tell you a story. When I was in high school, my parents are not believers and not followers of Jesus. I came to Jesus in a late stage of life at 33, but I remember this. I remember when I was in high school, and I'm in the gym, and I'm working out with the guys in there, and I would hear them say, oh, they would use the Lord's name in vain. And in my mind, silently, I'm thinking, they didn't really mean that. They meant to say, gosh darn. And I would substitute what they were saying, even in high school. Even though I had not gone to church, wasn't raised in a church. But you know what? Here's the deal. If God created us, has he got that seed in us? Well, he's got that seed in us. And I know, I wish that somebody at that time would have came to me and presented the gospel, because I was ripe for the harvest. I mean, I was there. And so no one did. And what happened is I went off to college and got corrupted 100% by the world. And until God never gives up on us, right? No matter what. Here's the amazing thing of God. Even though I was his enemy, by God's grace and his mercy, I'm here right now, today. And now he calls me friend. It's amazing. Yeah. Now, I was thinking about this. What would our life look like? What would the world look like around us if we lived in our Christian bubble, right? So going to church, great thing. Going to seeking truth, awesome thing. We have our small groups. But what are we doing outside of that? Are we staying inside of our Christian bubble? What would the world look like there? Let's look at this. Can I tell you the next verse that we're going to jump into is this. It's amazing. These disciples, now it's 11 disciples. And I'm going to pick up the story just a little bit here. It is after Jesus died on the cross, dead, buried, and he rose again. He rose again, and the disciples, the 11 of them, are sitting together, and they're eating, they're hanging out. Even though he had risen, even though they had heard that that the tomb was empty, they were still hanging out in together, talking and eating. Let's read. It says this. Did you, Mark 16, verse 14, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, I thought about that verse, and I'm like, oh, man, can we as a church, can we be looking like that today? Are we just hanging out in our Christian bubbles? And going to church, we're going in and opening up the garage door, shutting down the garage door. Are we not going to our neighbors? What are we doing that would resemble what these 11 disciples were doing at that time, just hanging out and talking? Are we guilty of that? Listen to what Jesus does. He doesn't condemn them for doing that. Listen to what he does. He says this. He said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. Ha! Isn't that his call to you and to me? He doesn't want us to be hanging out and talking. There's great time in fellowship. I'm not dissing that. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying sometimes we get in our comfort zone and we're not stretched out to go to the world to preach the good news. And so sometimes you can say, you know what? I got Jesus and my faith is strong. I believe in him. No problem. Well, let's look. How strong is your faith? Let's see what Jesus says afterwards. He says this in 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place hands on the sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven, into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, do you believe it? Is your faith strong enough, and do you exercise it strong enough to say, you know what, bring it on. I have all of the power and authority exercised in Jesus Christ to exercise out demons in somebody. Or do you have the faith strong enough to go up and say, you know what, I know you need healing. Somebody has cancer. Do you just say, oh, man. Do you kind of sit back and say, I'll just pray for you and you'll leave? Or do you have the faith to go over and lay a hand on that sick body, wherever it is, and pray for him and believe everything that Jesus said? everything. Let me tell you a story. Joan and I, we have a construction company. And this Miguel, he's our roofer, and he's been with us for quite a while. And we were over checking out a roof, and I'm down on the ground, and he's coming down from the ladder. And I see this big old bump right in the middle of his back. Wow, geez, I've never noticed that before. I'm like, well, hey, Miguel. He gets down the ladder. I'm like, what's that lump on the back of your, on your back? He goes, you know that accident I was in? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, I don't know, but my back is just killing me, and this thing just popped up. I'm like, well, okay. Do you mind if I pray for you? No, that's fine. So right there in front of the customer's house, right there on the sidewalk, I just go ahead and I lay my hand on that bump on his back, and I prayed over it. And do you know what happened? Went away. Hallelujah. And he looked at me, and he goes, are you magic? I'm like, no, I'm not magic. And it isn't me. It wasn't me that healed you. It was Jesus. I love the fact that healing is not just for the believer. It's also for the unbeliever, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
That is right. So look at this. This is the scene, and we're going to go here to Jesus is at the mountainside, and he's feeding the 5,000. And so Jesus, he looks, and he says this in verse 14. He says, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Love that. You know they all weren't believers, but yet he had compassion upon all of them, and he healed all of their sick. I looked up compassion. And compassion, the definition is this: sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Do you have compassion? Are you challenged with your compassion? I'll let you another story of compassion here. Joan and I were doing a couple trailers, fix and flips in the Golden area. And I went outside the trailer, and the couple of guys approached me. And there was nothing in their approach. They were just having a conversation with me. And so I naturally or supernaturally turned the conversation into Jesus. And so what that did is gave me a little a test to see where they're at, you know, in their relationship with Jesus. And I found out, a little rough, they had heard of Jesus and, you know, in and out with Jesus. And one in particular guy, his name is Bob. And Bob had told me at that encounter that he had been in the penitentiary for 20 years. And so I thought, well, okay. You know, and we just talked, and we went on, and a few days went by. But you know the compassion that I'm talking about. There's something different about that person, that God puts them on your heart, and you just have a compassion for them. And that's a compassion that's not from you, but it's through you by Jesus, right? And that's a compassion that I have for Bob. And so it was a few days later, and I'm working on the trailer. And I see Bob out there, and that's when the Holy Spirit says, you need to speak to him. And isn't it true that we need to be in tune to the Holy Spirit to hear what he has to say, right? And give in. It's so easy to say, I'm busy. It's so easy to say, was that you, God? Hey, Bob. Yeah. You got a minute? Sure. Oh, okay. Can I talk to you? Yeah. He comes over. I'm like, hey, Bob, what you doing? What do you mean? I mean, what you doing? Well, honestly, yeah. well, I'm leaving tonight. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm staying in this trailer. And it was a trailer right behind the trailer we're fixing up. And it's plumb full of people. He goes, they are super nice people. They have been so good to me. But I need to set an example because everyone else is taking advantage of this people that own this trailer. So I'm going. Where are you going? I don't know. I got $1.73 in my pocket. I said, okay, Bob, follow me. I did try to call Joan to get her permission, and she wasn't available, but I knew where her heart is as well. We happen to be doing two trailers, and the other trailer is just three doors down. And I walked into the trailer, and I said, Bob, it's not much. I mean, we're gutting this trailer. We're going to refurbish this thing completely. But I can tell you this, you don't have to pay rent, and you got a roof over your head. Are you serious? Yeah. You're going to let me stay here? Yeah. You're going to stay here. I'm going to cry if I look at you. Anyway, so do you know that night he moved all of his stuff in? That next morning at 7 a.m., there was a raid on the house that he was staying in. There were 20 cops that pulled up to that place and nabbed a guy out of there. I mean, it's just amazing in God's grace and his timing. But that was the compassion and turning into that compassion. I want to tell you something on Bob, and that's this. When you show Jesus' compassion to those around you, and you can write down who is God bringing to your mind to show compassion onto, and if there's no one, ask him. Ask him for someone that you want to shower your compassion upon God. Who is it? Let me know. How is that? Because here's what happens when you do. Bob began to come to life. He began to, I said, you know what, Bob? I'm staying here. I need a little help. You mind helping me a little bit? No, I'll help you a little bit. I'm like, okay. So let's just start easy. Let's start cleaning out and let's start doing this. You got it. So now I'm paying him a little money. Here's the good thing that Bob started doing. He started investing in himself. He bought a hammer. He bought a tape. He bought a square. And then you hear him talking about, you know what? I know that you guys are doing this with the trailers. You know, I'm thinking someday that maybe someday I could buy a trailer from you. That, you know, maybe I could just get a roommate and a roommate could help me. And, you know, we can make this thing go. I'm like, yes, you can. You can, Bob. I'm going to share you a couple of statements that Bob said. And he said this. He said, you know, even an old dog gets a steak once in a while. And then he said this. He said, God has made himself more prevalent to me in my recent blessings, which amazes me because because I think he had bigger people to think of. That's why. And so, how many people think that way? How many people think that way? There are many people that think that way. And they need the compassion of Jesus. And you are, and you carry the compassion of Jesus. So what fills your heart? What fills your heart? Because if Christ lives in you, and he does, is he alive in you? Is he alive? And if he is alive, what is the difference? What does that look like when he is alive in you? So when he is alive, you know, it's obvious because Jesus is your best friend. He is your best friend. And you can't stop talking about him. You know, there's any conversation, he's always there. And you want to bring him up. That's what fills your heart. And but he says this in John 17, in verses 13 through 14. He says now this, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word. I love this. If Jesus is alive and alive and well in us, we have the joy. And it says this, the joy to full measure. And he says this in Seeking Truth Bible study here. He gave them the word. Isn't that interesting that he said that? That he gave them the word right as soon as he says, here's the full measure of joy. He gave them the word. And as Zach teaches in this class, the word has a double meaning, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. That's the Word. He gave us the Word. And he gave us God's Word that's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. Hallelujah. Yeah. I know this for myself, that when he's given us his Word, the more you know him from his word, the more you know him, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you serve him. The more you serve him, the more it feeds upon itself. Is that true? Yes. It's so true. And when you find yourself serving him, can I tell you, you find yourself in the sweet spot of God. You find yourself in the sweet spot, in the middle of his will. There is not a better place to be than in the middle of his will. Yeah. Besides, this is one of my memory verses here with the kids. It says this, Exodus 15, 11. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Who is like that? What fills your heart? Is it worship? Is it his word? Is it grace, his mercy, encouragement from a brother and sister? Is it this class, his spirit, his forgiveness, his faithfulness? The list could go on and on. And the point is, what are you focused on? Because when we are focused on the characteristics of God, that creates the overflow, right? Romans 15 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we walk in the power of the Spirit, when we walk in overflow, it should make people say, man, I want what he's got. I want what she has. I want that. And so and how we create that overflow is spending our time with him. How do we spend time with him? By getting to know him in his word, by praying and seeking him out. So if we're walking in this, here's a thought that just came to mind. Is Pastor Matt or Pastor Mike said this. It should make them say, give me some of that. I want some of that, right? That's what Pastor Mike said. So it should be that kind of effect on them. Are we walking in that joy? No matter what the circumstance, what holds you back from witnessing or evangelizing? Give me some examples. Yes, Kim. Fear. Okay. Pride. Okay. I'm writing this down. What else, guys?
Insecurity.
Who said time? Time. That's a big one for me. Time. What's that? Oh, the unknown, right? Yeah. All of those. Anybody experienced all of those? All of them. I have. And there's another one. That keeps us from a witnessing or evangelizing Satan. Can I tell you, when I first came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm telling the world. And Satan was right there in my ear saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And God was blessing his time through me with people. And I'm watching people come to Christ. It's just amazing. But then Satan just kept going there. Hey, who do you think you are? You remember your past? Well, at that time, I couldn't remind him that my future, your future, is brighter than your past, right? Your future is brighter than your past. And so what did I do? I shut up. I didn't say anything. And though God has given me a gift in evangelism and to speak to people, I shut up. But can I tell you this? And it's true with any of you that you have a gift that God is giving you. When you don't use it, what happened to me is I became miserable. Miserable. I was not myself. I hated it. Couldn't stand it. But God says this, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. And so that's what I reminded him. I reminded Satan of that. Yes.
When Satan does that to me, I told him he knows my past, but I know his future.
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. And we can combat, Satan or with Scripture, and there's plenty of Scriptures to combat it with. We have all of the tools, as Pastor Micah said in the sermon. We have all of the tools he's given us. But how do we move from that place of fear? How do we move that place for insecurity or the unknown? How do we move from that time to a place of anticipation, excitement? I know when you start, it's going to be a little intimidating. But like with anything, when you practice and you gain experience, it becomes easier. It really does. It's almost like second nature. It just flows. It just comes out, right? And so as you were saying Mitch, with confidence, can I tell you, there are going to be times that when you come and you witness to somebody or you're evangelizing or whatever it is, you're going to walk away from that conversation going, I wish I could have said this or that, or why did I forget this? Can I tell you, it's okay, because the Holy Spirit's there. And the Holy Spirit's the fear filter, right? Holy Spirit's going to get across to that person exactly what that Holy Spirit wants that person to hear. But in conjunction with that, we are gaining experience, and with experience, confidence.
That also lets us know it wasn't I, but him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So sometimes something that holds us back, and I didn't hear this out, is trust. Do you trust him? So let's look at the definition of trust. Trust is firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Did you know this, that trust totally destroys fear? Fear cannot be around when you trust, right? And isn't that true in relationships, right? If you have your father, your mother, your grandfather, whatever, they give you a voice of confidence and you trust them, or they give you advice and you trust them, and you can march out with confidence because of what they said, because you trust them. So that is with God. And listen to this. This is a picture of Peter. When Jesus speaks to him, he says in verse 25, Matthew 14, 25, he says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, They said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. So when we trust God and he says, go therefore and tell the world, go therefore to all of the nations and preach the word. When we trust him, we know that he is with us. It's his word that we're delivering, right? Faith is a gift, but trust is a relationship. I hope you get that. Faith is a gift, but trust is a relationship. God says this, "Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you." He is faithful when we're not. He is there. We can have confidence that when we go out in boldness and in courage, that he will be there. Trust moves us out of our comfort zone. Now, what do I need to do if you're not there? What actions do I need to take? How are we going to put our feet to the pavement, so to speak? Let's look at what Apostle Paul did in Colossians 4. He says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Love that. Yeah. This is from Apostle Paul, the one who knew scriptures left and right and was giving us scripture, right? And he was giving us those letters. So he knew it left and right. But here he says this, devote yourself to prayer. That's how we start. We devote ourselves with prayer. If you don't have that gumption to go preach the new... See, I believe in the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so sometimes I hear, well, I'm not called to be an evangelist. But you are called to proclaim the gospel, right? Would you guys agree with that? Yeah. So you are called to proclaim the gospel. If you're not there, you simply ask and you pray, hey, God, you know what? I want a heart. I want a heart like your heart. I want my heart to match your heart, God. I want a desire that none should perish, that all will come into the saving grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what I want, God. And would you bring somebody in front of me? I want to have that opportunity to present your grace, your mercy, your life, your forgiveness. And you know, God is faithful. But it doesn't just stop there. Our prayer goes outside of ourselves, and it goes for our brothers and sisters. Hey, God, I'm going to ask you, God, for my sister Kim in her neighborhood, would you, God, just give her an opportunity to give witness unto your goodness? Would you, God, I lift up Claire to you. I pray, God, would you give her the opportunity? Give her the words that when she proclaims the gospel, that she proclaims it clearly. We can pray not only for ourselves, but for one another. And not only one another, not just this church, but outside this church, for the world. For those evangelists out in the third world countries that are going from village to village barefooted, that are fighting off the darkness in the physical way, in that they are getting attacked physically, are we praying for them? Because they are our brothers and sisters that are getting martyred in behalf of Christ. He says this, to be watchful and thankful. I love the watchful part of it because we're asking God, right? And God never sleeps, nor does he slumber. He's always at work. I did this study probably two or three times. I loved it so much. It's called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And in this study, what it did for me is it taught me to be aware that God's always at work. If he's always at work, where's my attitude? Do I want to join him in what he's doing? Because that's where my heart should be, right? And so I got a story that I'll relate, and I'm going to try to speed this up because for time's sake. But it's this. Last week I was called to go look at 5 apartment buildings for the flat rows. Just got off of 2 roofs, and I got a phone call. I had set my ladder for the 3rd apartment, and I got a phone call, and it was in the courtyard kind of a setting, and I sit down, and I'm talking, and I'm the only one in the courtyard, and then walks into this courtyard a young lady. She's probably mid-20s, and she stood probably from me to this table away in this whole big courtyard. And I'm looking at her, and she had a gun tucked in her back pocket. And it was just sitting there. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? Because you're always at work, and she's here. I'm here. There's a reason. I wasn't afraid. I mean, I have to be aware, right, that she has this big pistol in the back pocket. And she's standing there, and she's just doing this, just like this. So it was pretty obvious that, you know, she was a little probably high, you know, on drugs or something, that she was concerned or whatever. And as soon as I get off the phone, she goes, hey, you got a light? I'm like, nah, I don't have a light. But it's a beautiful day to be alive, huh? God's made a beautiful day, huh? See, is her attitude. And I said, it looks like you've got some concerns about you. She's this far away. There's a tree that's maybe the speaker far away. She climbs the tree and she sits in the limb and she's talking to me with the gun in her back pocket sitting in the tree. And as it turned out, I'll try to make this long story short. She goes, why do you assume that I don't have Jesus? As she reaches in her front pocket and pulls out a lighter and lights her cigarette. I said, well, maybe it's because you're walking around like this. Maybe it's because of the gun in your back pocket. Maybe it's because you asked me for a lighter and you have a lighter. I said, those are just some thoughts there. Maybe you don't have Jesus. Well, I was baptized when I was 7. And again, when I was 17, how do I know you're not a false prophet? So God gave that time for us together that I could witness to her and share with her. And I'm going to speed this up. And here's what I want to make a point to is you don't ever know who you're talking to. Whose kid it is, or whose mother, whose aunt, whose uncle, whose cousin, that once had the word, but the word will not go void. The word will not go void. And so I was able to bring that word back up into her. Now, I did get another phone call, and as soon as she waited in the tree, and it was kind of funny. I actually took a picture of her in the tree. I thought it was kind of funny. But anyway, as soon as I got off the phone, she goes, yeah, Jesus just spoke to me. I'm like, yeah? What did he say? He said to get away from you. So, anyway, that was that story. But he goes, he says, Paul says, and to be thankful. We've got to be thankful for what we have. Be thankful for the grace and the mercy that he's bestowed upon you, that he brought salvation upon you and me. Be thankful for not only what he has done, but what he's doing and what he will do, right? God can always create, you can create a way to present the gospel. There is always a way that you can bring a conversation into the gospel. For example, and I'll just give one and I'll move on. I had a guy, he says, in the street, he was a neighbor, and he goes, you know, I love to travel. I said, you know what, I love to travel too. And I said, you know what, what's on your bucket list? And he told me, and I said, you want to know what's on my bucket list? My bucket list is to go to the Holy Land. I would love to go to Israel. I would love to walk where Jesus walked. I would love to go to the hill where he was sacrificed for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. That, you just take and travel. You can work things around into an opportunity to present the gospel. Or you can, this happened just a few days ago. I'm on the roof with a guy, and I said, well, hey, Joe, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, I took a vacation. Now, like 6-month vacation? No, 9-month vacation. And I said, oh, what was your offense? This guy was barking at me. He's no longer barking at me. I'm like, okay. Well, can I give you a trustworthy saying? Sure. Jesus says this. If somebody hits you on the cheek, turn your other cheek. That's a trustworthy saying. Why would he say that, Joe? Because maybe he knows what triggers you. You know, that Satan is going to trigger you to do something that you don't want to do. So you can bring a conversation around with the scripture. Maybe it's with the sermon, like Pastor Mike is preaching today. Hey, how was your weekend? Oh, man, it was awesome. Can I tell you about this message that I heard on Sunday? There's always these ways that you can bring it back into the gospel. The time for revival is when?
Now.
Now. It is now. And I love that. And it's in... God is doing an amazing, amazing stuff. And it's not so much about your ability, but your availability to be available for God to use, right? And he says this, he says, Jesus says in John 4:34, says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another one reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Wrapping up with this, aren't you tired of hearing what the enemy is doing? Aren't you tired of it? Does it make you mad? Does it make you sick? Does it make you just, you know, just stand up and say, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. I want you to reach in and grab a hold of this attitude that the Israelites had. And it's found in Numbers 21. And you can read it with me. Numbers 21, verse 1. When the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in Negev, heard that Israel was coming along the road of Atharim, he attacked the Israelites and captured some of them. Then Israel made this vow to the Lord, I will deliver these people into, if you will deliver these people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. And isn't that kind of what has happened? What happens today is that the enemy comes in and he starts to pick away, or he begins to capture away a part of you, whether it's fear or less than or whatever, jealousy. It doesn't matter what it is, that the enemy comes in to try to steal, kill, and destroy who you are or who even the unbeliever is, right? But their attitude mixed and combined with God's power. They said, you know what, God? If you would deliver, we are going to totally destroy that city. You know what, God? With your help, your power, I'm going to totally destroy the enemy. The enemy's already been defeated. Agree?
Yes.
Already been defeated. So where are we in our attitude? Are we grabbing that attitude that we are going to totally destroy that enemy? When he comes in to try to capture a little bit of you, whether it's in your laziness or lack of confidence or courage or boldness, whatever it is, go in and totally destroy the enemy. And when he comes back, you battle it with Scripture. And you remind him each and every time. Listen, God is on the move. He is on the move today. Revival is now, and it's happening. I have seen God raise the dead. I have seen God heal. I have seen prodigals come back. I have seen salvations. Today, now, is the time. And isn't it an amazing privilege to join God into what he's doing? Yeah. Amen? Amen? All right. I'll wrap it up there. God, just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for just who you are, God. I thank you that we can love because you first love. I thank you for that first love. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. God, I thank you for revealing who he is. I thank you for dropping the scales from our eyes. I thank you for opening our spirits, our ears to hear what you have to say, God. We want to be with an attitude, as Rick said earlier, God, here I am, send me. God, have your way. God, that we know that every breath that we take has been given to us by you. God, find us as humble servants before you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.